with you today, if you turn with us over into Luke's Gospel, chapter number 24. Luke 24. Last Sunday morning we preached where the Lord had, He had risen. They went to the tomb and found the tomb empty. He was gone, but He was fixing to be very busy. Because after His resurrection, we have 11 times where He's appeared to His children. Aren't you glad we've got a God that comes to all of His children? Now I want to ask you something before I start this sermon. Could you imagine being in this setting as these two here in 13 of Luke 24:13, a couple on the road to Emmaus? Many say it was a husband, wife. Many say it was two men. I don't know, were they male or female? But I do know the Bible says it was two of them. And so I want you to think about it just a minute. They'd seen the Lord do many things. They'd heard Him do many things. And it seemed as a darkness had fell on all of the disciples, all those that was close. Matter of fact, the Bible said that they seemed as just idle words is what they had heard. They really couldn't believe what had come to pass. So these two here, they're on their way home. The Bible said that, and behold, that's a word with an emphasis upon something. Behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, or some 7 to 8 miles. They're living out of the outskirts of Jerusalem, and they're going back home. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. A lot of things that went on. A lot of things they was unsure about. Have you ever lived a life, facing life, you was unsure about some things? So it came to pass, while they communed together and they reason, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. You may be seated this morning. Father, we thank You for Your goodness today. The good Spirit of God, we thank You. I pray now You'd help us, You'd protect our mind and our hearts. May we focus on worship this morning. Would You do that only what You, our great God, can do for us? We'll be careful to honor You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask You, amen and amen. So here, as the Bible says, and behold, two of them, I want to preach on this simple subject today on what now? What now? I wonder, has life ever left you with what now? I wonder, have you ever experienced things in your journey, things that have happened, even though you've heard the Word of God all of your life, they seem to you just idle words, and so now you find yourself saying this phrase, now, what now? The tomb is empty. Thank God the tomb is empty. Well, what now? I want to say, first of all, you'll see there are some folks that is on their way home. Some folks on the way home. In verse 13, they're walking. Two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs, some 7 to 8 miles. We find them walking. Then in verse 14, this is a good thing if you talk about the right things. And they talk together, watch, of all these things which had happened. There's a lot of things has just went on. The tomb is empty. He's just been beaten beyond recognition, put on a Roman cross, died for the sins of the world. They buried Him. He's gotten up on the third day, and they're sort of headed back home, and they're talking together. So we see them walking and talking. But then in verse 15, I want you to notice there is a stalking. And before I really labor on this point, I want you to realize there is a real devil today. He'll try his best to discourage you. The Bible says he's the father of lies. Now, we don't see him surfaced on the front, But honey, I guarantee you, he's in the background. The devil's in the background of daily living. He's a real devil. I wish he was just a little man like a lot of people claim him to be Halloween, stuck in a corner in a red suit and a pitchfork. But oh my, he's a lot more than that. But aren't you glad the Bible says greater than he that is in you than he that is in the world? So we see these people, they're walking, they're talking, but now we see a stalking. Why do you say that? Look what the Bible says in verse 15. Came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned. Other words, I preached Thursday night on one post-resurrection experience where he came to these disciples in the upper room and their doors were locked for fears of the Jews. Can I tell you that fear will not only keep you in, but it will keep you out. And so there was the fear and the dread the disciples were dreading, but Jesus done something to them that he's doing to these. Jesus appears. Aren't you glad we got a God that's concerned about all of his children in all of our affairs of life? You can't preach a God too big for me. Let me tell you, God is so big. And man has responsibility. That's why we stay balanced. We read our Bible. We realize he's a sovereign God, but man has responsibility. So I want to say, you'll never preach God being too big. God's everywhere, and he's a good God, and I'm thankful that he is. But what now? These folks, they're on their way home. They're filled with doubt. They're filled with distractions. They're walking, talking, but there's a stalking. The devil's come to them and got them reasoning about things. You know, I've noticed the devil will keep us real busy on reasoning things, trying to make the dots connect. Why this or why that when we don't understand? The devil's very confusing. And so we see here in this stalking, they reason together. Now, I want to make a point right here about this reasoning together. And I want to tag team a little bit about Thursday night, then get in on the text. Remember the disciples, they were in the upper room on that Sunday night. They had the doors, plural. Every door was shut because fear of the Jews. They'd killed Jesus. They thought they were next. Have you ever found out in life, never thought, well, this is next? But do you remember the sermon Sunday morning, Joseph of Arimathea? The place that Joseph thought would bury him, he went and got Jesus and give him that place. And can I tell you, that tomb is still empty. Joseph of Arimathea, what he thought would bury him and finish him, honey, he never had to go in it. I'm glad we got a God that'll take our place this morning. Would somebody help me in my mind today? Would somebody help me in my heart? Aren't you glad we got a Jesus we can take to the place that was going to finish us and bury us, and Joseph never had to go in there for it to finish him? And so now the disciples, they're fearful. They got the doors locked. These here are going back home and they're reasoning together. Their mind's just going everywhere. You ever had your mind go everywhere? I know some of y'all have great stability. Would you, maybe when you pass, would you put that in your will that I may inherit that from you? But can I tell you today, when they're reasoning, they are walking and they're talking, but there's somebody stalking it. The devil's in the background trying to confuse them and intensify things. I want to say this about thoughts. When a thought comes in your mind, replace the thought with truth over thought. When the wrong thought shows up, answer it with truth. Jesus didn't debate the devil when the devil came to tempt Christ. He didn't debate the devil. He simply said, "It is written." So when these thoughts come in our minds, we must replace them with truth. This is an example. The thought, "I'm not going to make it." But the truth is, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Then note this, the truth is the only thing strong enough to evict the lie. A lie don't need to live in our mind. And the only way that we can evict this lie is by truth.
You don't defeat a thought by fighting it. You defeat it by replacing it. Let me say this again. You don't defeat a thought by fighting it. You defeat it by replacing it. So when a bad thought comes in your mind, whether it be in a crisis or an issue, you must realize you can't fight this thought. You got to replace it with something better, something that brings peace, joy, and happiness. Find you a song you like. If you love your grandbabies, focus on them. If you love your church, focus on them. But I can tell you somebody really good to focus on, and that's the Lord Jesus, because He's been the greatest friend that you'll ever find. So when this thought comes in your head, remember, replace the thought with truth. And then, not only replace the thought, but redirect your focus. The Bible says in Isaiah 26, talking about these walking home now, they're reasoning, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." The devil would love for us to get our mind off the Lord and on all of this confusion. Replace the thought. Redirect your focus. Disruptive thoughts feed on attention. Say it again. Disruptive thoughts feed on attention. Those disruptive thoughts, they love attention. They love to keep you so busy. Turn your mind towards worship, scripture, gratitude. You got anything to thank God for? You say, "Well, preacher, things are bad." Well, I realize everybody's got bad things, but what about the good things? What about the positive thing? Well, what does God give you that nobody else has got? What have you got that money cannot buy? So we must replace this. We direct our focus. Turn your mind toward worship, scripture, gratitude. If you keep looking at the problem will just keep looking bigger. Can I get an amen this morning? So we replace the thought. We redirect the thought. And thirdly, we resist the thought. We resist that entry point. Don't entertain what you should evict. A thought that lingers becomes a stronghold. You can't control every thought that knocks, but you can control which ones you let in. Some people aren't attacked by a single thought. They're trapped in a loop. Some people, they're not attacked by a single thought. They're trapped in a loop, just round and round and round. And so we find these folks on the way home. They're walking, they're talking, but there is a stalking. The devil behind the scene is trying to really get them real discouraged and down. And I don't want you to forget, the devil's real good at what he does, but God's a lot greater. Boy, won't it be a blessing when we get to go to heaven? No more devil. Won't that be a blessing? And so there's, what now? Well, there's folks on the way home. Thank God, this is not our home, but we're on our way home. Folks on the way. We're just strangers and pilgrims. But then secondly, there are facts on the way home. Look what the Bible teaches us. Verse 17, don't mingle with discouraging talk. Don't mingle with discouraging talk. Verse 17, He said unto them, this is Jesus now, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? The Lord don't want us to walk around being sad. He wants the joy of the Lord to be coming forth. And I'm going to tell you, I wore this t-shirt right here. The devil will convince you of everything but is the truth. And so here, don't mingle with discouraging talk. If somebody comes up to you and starts with discouraging talk, say, "I got to go to the bathroom. I got to go get my groceries. I got to go check on this over here.
I got to go check on the temperature. Don't mingle with discouraging talk. Number two, don't major on disturbing things. Oh my, verse 18. And one of them whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Aren't thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" In other words, Lord, ain't you heard what's happened? They don't even know it's the Lord. They think it's a stranger come by walking with them. They don't even know it's the Lord right here. It's just a stranger has appeared. And they said, "Hadn't you heard about all this going on? Hadn't you heard about all this happening overseas? Hadn't you heard that oil is $110 a barrel? Hadn't you heard this world's gone crazy? Hey, this world's been crazy a long time, but I'm glad we got a God that'll walk in the scene with us." So this don't major on disturbing things. He said, "Ain't you heard about these things?" Look what Jesus said, verse 19. He said unto him, "What things? What things you talking about? What things have got you down so low today?" Let me ask you as your preacher today, what things has got you down so low today? I'm going to tell you, last couple of months I've allowed a lot of things in life to get me down. But I've got tired of being down, and I'm a lot better than I've been in a long time. And I take this text and I apply it in my life. These things that bog us down, Jesus said, "What things? Why are you walking around the way you're walking? I don't want to be, but why are you walking like this?" These folks here, they were caught up in discouraging talk, and they was majoring on disturbing things. Turn the news channel off sometimes. Look, if you're a liberal, then I can't tell you nothing no way. But if you major on Fox News 24/7, you're going to be so depressed. My Yukon had Sirius Radio run out. I didn't re-prescribe. You know what I do 8 or 9 hours? I listen to Fox News all the way back to Bowden. My God, I'm glad it's off at Yukon. I can't hear it no more. It's true, people. You have to adjust the environment that you find yourself in. You can't labor on the negatives. Oh, me. Don't mingle with discouraging talk. Don't major on disturbing things. And then verse 21, but we trusted. Here it is. I wonder, has anything in life ever worked out not the way you thought it would? But we trusted that it had been. Boy, I could say something right here about getting older, but we trusted that it would have been. Have you ever thought things would be in a different situation than you find yourself today? But we trusted it should have been this way. Things come to everybody's life. And thank God we've got people that will help us. Thank God we've got people that will try to understand us and be kind to us and not throw us under the bus. But I want you to realize this morning that we're not to meditate on these disrupting thoughts. We had trusted that it had been. You know, there's a lot of letdowns in life, and only Jesus can get you through them letdowns. There's been so many people here that's been through so many tragic and hard things through the years. Just because you love God, it doesn't mean that you're immune to these things. Things are going to come. But we got to realize something about God. That if it didn't work out the way we thought, we got to realize that God is bigger and God makes no mistakes and He loves all of His children. You know, it's no difference in what God allows me to have as His child, as my father, what He allows you to have as He's your father. I remember when I turned 16, Brother Brian, I went to a car lot. I've been riding a motorcycle all my life. Man, I found the pickup truck I wanted. It was this tall. had big tires on it. Shane, it was a 76 model. It was decked out. It was beautiful. And so the car salesman, he was a typical car salesman, Howard, he said, drive it home, see how you like it. I pulled it in the driveway. Adam, my dad, come out on the back porch. He said, take it back where you got it. Well, that hurt my feelings. Man, Brother David, I love that big jacked up truck. But my daddy knowed it wasn't good for me. And so I've noticed in my life the things that I would write out, my plans a lot of times didn't work out how I thought they would be. But I can't get mad at God and I can't be distracted because God is so good and He is so big. He knows what we need every moment of our life. What things, Jesus said? What things got you trouble? Man, what things got you trouble? Why aren't you singing the way you used to sing? Why aren't you praying the way you used to pray? Why aren't you attending church the way you used to attend church? What things hadn't worked out your way? And young people, we've got a lot of young people here today, and I thank God for every one of you. But I'm going to tell you something. Life is hard, and you've got to realize that God allows things to come in our life that we don't like. But through it all, we've got to give God the honor and the glory out of it and praise Him and worship Him. Don't meditate on disrupted thoughts. The folks, the facts, but then look at the friend in verse 15. Jesus does something. Came to pass while they communed together and reasoned. Jesus Himself drew near. Aren't you glad we've got a God, Brother Randall, that's interested in the affairs of His children? I don't see no place where they was shooting a flare or waving a flag. Hey, Jesus, come here. We need you. No. Jesus knew it, and Jesus drew near. Aren't you glad we got a God? He ain't scared to get close to us. He drew near. How many of you, through the pathways of life, the last few months, you felt Jesus draw near to your situation? Friend on the way home. I'm glad He's a close friend. Verse 17, I sure am glad He's a concerned friend. He said, what communications are these you have one another as you walk and are sad? You know, when you see somebody walking and sad, try to pick them up. Don't beat them down. Try to lift them up and help them and try to relate to where they are. They may be having a bad time. Life may have thrown them a huge curve. Try to help them and lift them up. Friend. He's a close friend. He's a concerned friend. Then he's a conversational friend. He began to talk with them. Look what he says. He said to them, what things? They said to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Prophet might indeed word God and the people, how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that he had been which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things are done. And certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so, the women said, but him they saw not. Then look what he says. Not only is he a conversational friend, but he's a correcting friend. Isn't it great to have friends that'll tell you what you need to hear instead of what you want to hear? Them people that tell you what you want to hear, they're not really beneficial in your life. But people that will tell you what you need to hear is very beneficial to you in your life. He's a correcting friend. Look what he says. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow a heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He said, if you would have believed your Bible, you'd be walking in a different way today. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? Beginning at Moses and the prophets, He expounded them in the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. You know something, Brother Brian, if Jesus preached about Himself, I think that's a pretty good sermon. We can preach about Jesus. He's a concerned friend. He's a conversational friend. He's a correcting friend. But verse 28, look what he does, and I close this sermon. He's a continuing friend. And look what he does. They drew nigh the village whither they went, and he made as though that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it's toward evening, the day is far spent," and he went in to tarry with them. Look at verse 28. He made as though he would have gone further. In other words, it appeared that he is going to go on. And they turned and said, "Hey, it's about dark. Come on in the house with us." So Jesus comes in. I'm glad he's a continuing friend. But not only the facts on the way home, the friends on the way home, but look now at the fascination on the way home. Verse 30, he comes in. I'm fascinated about where he sits. Came to pass, he sat at meat with them. He took bread and blessed it and broke and gave to them. Isn't it amazing that the Lord will sit around our table when we've doubted Him so much? What a God. Fascination where He sits. But watch, not only where He sits, but what He serves. Something happens right here. You ever seen this? Came to pass, He sat at meat with them. He took bread and blessed it and broke and gave to them. I want to remind you, if you came to my house, Brother Brian, I said, "Come in the house. It's dark. Let's sit down." I'm going to tell you what. Miss Renee would set the table and she would feed y'all. I would help. Somebody say amen. Some of you men shake your little Baptist helping down. You ought to help. But Jesus comes in. He don't come in now as the guest. He's there as the host. He's breaking the bread. Aren't you glad we've got a God that's not come as a guest? He's come as a host to take over. That's what we need in all of our homes. Not to let Him be a guest, but a host to take over everything around our table. He took it over. And He broke that bread. I'm fascinated about where He sits. I'm fascinated about how He serves. But verse 32, I am really fascinated about how He stirs. They said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened us the Scriptures?" Miss Jennifer, if you'd come. I'm fascinated where He sits, how He serves, but how He stirs. They said, "Boy, isn't it amazing how our hearts burn within us when He opened to us the Scriptures?" Shouldn't that let us know today that the Word of God would set our hearts afire again? You know the reason a lot of times that our heart's not burning within us? Because we're not in our Bibles. We're not listening to them Scriptures. Many times you'll grab your Bible on Sunday morning, "Where's my Bible? We got to get to church." Brother Randall, I remember one time we went visiting over in y'all's community in the first church. We went and visited, and I asked the fellow, I said, "Sir, you got a Bible?" And his wife said, yeah, "We got it, we got it." They got looking for their Bible. "Where's our Bible?" And all of a sudden they said, "Oh, it's yonder. We got the window propped up with it." You see, I'm fascinated about what He does for us in our life. We can come in so low. When He comes by and opens them Scriptures to us, our hearts begin to flame again. I love preaching. Do y'all love preaching? I love singing, but I love preaching. It's just something about the Word of God that goes in my heart, and it allows my heart to catch a fire. Now, this is the last point, and I thought it was a good one. Folks on the way home, facts on the way home, friend on the way home, fascination on the way home. But lastly, there's fuel on the way home. The Bible said, verse 33, they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, found the 11 gathered together, and them that were saying, "The Lord is risen indeed," have appeared to Simon. They told what things were done in the way, how He was known to them in breaking of bread. The fuel on the way home. There's a prompted return. There's a powerful report. And there's a personal revelation. Now, I want to tell you something, and I'm done. They didn't know who this stranger on the road was till he broke that bread. He came in, not as guest, but host. When he broke that bread, you've heard me preach before, they seen the nail-scarred hands. They recognized it was God then. And they took this experience and they went back to Jerusalem to tell them other disciples, hey, y'all, he's alive. And he's good. And he's long-suffering. And he's helped us on our journey home. So we're going back to doing what we need to be doing. Can I tell you, when you're on the road of discouragement and defeat and disaster, let the Lord cheer you up. Love one another. Help one another. Oh, I sure am glad it's a great day to be a Christian. Our sister's going to play this morning. I don't know if you need any help. You do. You come. If the Lord's touched your heart in the service this morning, you need some help, would you come? Give it to the Lord. Maybe you're here and you've never been saved. Jesus died on the cross for you. He died that you could have life and have life more abundantly. I wonder this morning, would you want to come to an altar as our sister plays? And whatever you need, would you come? Jesus is calling. Oh, he loves us so much. And he appreciates us. Wanting him. Lord, I need you every hour. Why are you walking so sad? Don't you know it had to be? I'm thankful when he opened them scriptures, their hearts were set aflame. Boy, well, how we need a fire in this day and this hour. In a dark world, needs the light of Jesus. These little children need a fire burning around in their house. What a blessing. These thoughts come in, redirect. Think on these things, what Jesus said. I'm glad we got a God that loves us this morning.